This is Osho Radio. Maybe you just want to get up and dance. Osho Radio plays meditative music from soft, soothing music that brings you back inside to wild dancing music that makes you jump up and come to life again. Also, we play a discourse by Osho, and we have a small meditation for you.
Light 10,000 moons.
the discourses that Osho is giving, he is always talking about you, not about others. The discourse today is from The Art of Dying, number 9. Today the question is, what is spirituality? And Osho says, if you practice out of your ideas, nothing is possible. You cannot practice anything against your own understanding. Osho is showing that living in a world of things and ideas can lead to calamities. In this discourse, every sentence is charged with truth that faces you with your own untruth and at the same time offers you the door out. Please live a subjective life, says Osho. Be creative and move on further. Move towards the dimension of witnessing, of transcendence. Thank you.
Spirituality is not a question of morality. It is a question of vision. Spirituality is not practicing of the virtues, because if you practice a virtue, it is no more a virtue. A practiced virtue is a dead thing, a dead weight. Virtue is virtue only when it is spontaneous. Virtue is virtue only when it is natural, unpracticed, when it comes out of your vision, out of your awareness, out of your understanding. Ordinarily, religion is thought to be as a practice. It is not. That is one of the most fundamental misunderstandings about religion. You can practice non-violence, but you will still remain violent because your vision has not changed. You still carry the old eyes. A greedy person can practice sharing, but the greed will remain. Even the sharing will be corrupted by his greed. Because you cannot practice anything against your understanding, beyond your understanding. You cannot force your life into principles unless those principles are of your own experience. But so-called religious people try to practice virtue. That's why they are the most unvirtuous people on the earth. They try to practice love, and they are the most unloving people on the earth. They have created all sorts of mischief, wars, hatred, anger, enmity, murders. They practice friendship, but the friendship has not flowered on the earth. They go on talking about God, but they create more and more conflict in the name of God. A Christian is against the Mohammedan. The Mohammedan is against the Hindu. The Hindu is against the Jaina. The Jaina is against the Buddhist. That's all they have been doing. There are 300 religions, and they have all created fragments in human minds. They have not been an integrative force. They have not healed the wounds of human soul. Because of them, humanity is ill. Because of them, humanity is insane. And the insanity comes out of one thing that has to be understood as deeply as possible. Because you can also go in the wrong direction. The wrong direction has a tremendous appeal, otherwise so many people would not have gone on it. The appeal must be great. The magnetic force of the wrong direction has to be understood, only then you can avoid it. You can try practicing anything you like, and you will remain opposite to it. You can enforce a sort of stillness upon yourself. You can sit silently. You can learn the yoga posture. You can put the body almost as if it is without any movement. You can make the body like a statue. And by repeating some mantra, or by just repressing the mind continuously for a long time, You can enforce a sort of stillness upon your being, but it will be the silence of the cemetery. It will not be throbbing, alive, kicking. It will be a frozen thing. You can deceive others, but you cannot deceive yourself, and you cannot deceive God. You have got it without any understanding. You forced it upon yourself. It is a practiced silence. The real silence arises out of the understanding. Why I am not silent? Why I go on creating tensions from myself? Why I go on getting into miserable patterns? Why I support my health? One starts understanding the why of one's health. By that very understanding, by and by, without any practicing on your part, you start dropping those wrong attitudes that create misery. Not that you drop them, simply they start disappearing. When understanding is there, things start changing around you. You will love, but you will no more be possessive. It is not love that creates trouble. Ask your so-called saints, they say it is love that creates trouble. It is absolutely a false statement. It is based on a deep misunderstanding of a human love life. It is not love that creates misery. Love is one of the greatest blessings, a benediction. It is possessiveness that creates misery. Possess your beloved, your friend, your child, and you will be in misery. And when you are in misery, those religious people are there waiting by the corner. They jump upon you. They say, we had told you before, never love. Otherwise you will be in trouble. Drop out of all love situations. Escape from the world. And of course it appeals because you are seeing it happening already to you. It is now your own experience that they are right. And still they are not right. And it is not your experience. Because you never analyzed the phenomenon that has happened. You never analyzed that it is not love that has tripped you into misery. It is possessiveness. Drop possessiveness, not love. If you drop love, of course the misery will disappear. Because by dropping love, you will be dropping possessiveness also. That will be automatically dropped. The misery will disappear, but you will never be happy. Go and see your sins, and what I am saying, they will be the proofs of it. They will never be happy. Yes, they are not unhappy, that's true. But they are not happy either. So what is the point? If happiness does not arise by dropping unhappiness, then some mistake has been committed. Otherwise, it should be natural. You say, I have lighted the candle and the darkness is still there. So either you are befooling yourself, or you are dreaming, hallucinating about the candle. Otherwise it is not possible. The candle is burning bright and the darkness is still there. The darkness is a certain absolute proof that the light has not entered yet. When unhappiness drops, suddenly there is happiness. What is happiness? Absence of unhappiness is happiness. What is health? Absence of disease is health. When you are not unhappy, then how you can avoid happiness? When you are not unhappy, How you can manage not to be happy? It is impossible. It is not in the nature of things. It is against the arithmetic of life. When a person is not unhappy, suddenly all his sources are alive. A dance arises in his being. A joy arises in his being. A laughter bursts forth. He explodes. He becomes a presence of divine ecstasy. By seeing him, you will see God, a glimpse, a ray of light. Just by being in his presence, you will be suffused of a new light, a new being, a new wave will arise around you. And you can ride on that tidal wave and you can go to the other source. Whenever there is really a dropping of unhappiness, happiness is left. Nothing else is possible. One is simply happy without any reason, without any why. But your sins are not happy. Your sins are very sad. Your sins are not living. Your sins are dead. What has happened? What calamity? What curse? A misstep. They thought love has to be dropped. Then there will be no misery. They have dropped love. But the misery was not coming because of love. The misery was coming because of possessiveness. Drop possessiveness. In fact, convert the energy that is involved in possessiveness into love energy. That cannot be done by enforcing anything. A clear vision is needed. A clarity. So the first thing I would like to say to you is, spirituality is not practicing of any virtue. Spirituality is gaining of a new vision. Virtue follows that vision. It comes on its own accord. It is a natural byproduct. When you start seeing, things start changing. In life, there are three things. One, the objective world, the world of things. Everybody is able to see that. We are naturally capable of seeing the objective world. But this is only the beginning of the journey. Many have stopped there. And they think they have arrived home. Of course they have not arrived, so they are miserable. Beyond the objective is the opening of another world, the world of the subjective. The objective is the world of things, objects. The objective is the world of science, mathematics, physics, chemistry. The objective is very clear because naturally we are born perfectly able to see the objective. The subjective has to be explored. Nobody is born with the vision of the subjective. The subjective has to be explored. One has to learn what it is. One has to taste it by and by and move into it by and by. The world of music, poetry, art, the world of any creativity is the world of the subjective. The man who starts moving inwards becomes more poetic, more aesthetic. He has a different aroma around him, a different aura. The scientist lives with the things. The poet lives with persons. The scientist is not at all aware who he is. He is simply aware about what surrounds him. He may be able to know about the moon and about the Mars and about the stars far, far away. But he is completely oblivious of his own inwardness. In fact, the more he becomes concerned with faraway things, the more and more he becomes oblivious of himself. He remains almost in a sort of sleep about himself. The poet, the painter, the dancer, the musician, they are closer home. They live in the subjective. They know they are persons. And when you know you are a person, suddenly you become capable of looking into persons. For a poet, even a tree is a person. Even animals are people. For a scientist, even a man, a woman is nothing but an object. He looks at a man also as if he is just an object. He is not aware of his own inwardness, how he can be aware of the inwardness of the other. When I use the word person, I mean that there is an insight to it, which is not available to the outside observation, analysis, dissection. There is a rock, it has no insight. You can break it, you can see everywhere. If you break a rock, nothing is disturbed, nothing is destroyed. Even if it is in pieces, it is the same rock. But you break a person, something of tremendous value immediately disappears. Now you are left with a dead body. And the dead body is not the person. The rock broken is still the same rock, but a person broken is no more the same person. In fact, the person broken is not a person at all. On the dissection table of a surgeon, you are not a person. Only when a poet touches you and holds your hand, you become a person. That's why people hanker for love. People hanker for love because only love can make you a person. Only love can reveal your inwardness to you. Only love can make you feel that you are not just that which looks from the outside. You are something more. You are something totally different than you look. The reflection in the mirror is not your totality. The reflection in the mirror is just a reflection of your surface, not about your depth. It says nothing about your depth. And unless somebody touches you with love, looks at you with love, your own inwardness remains unfulfilled, unrecognized. That's the need to be needed. The subjective is the dimension, inward dimension of poetry, song, dance, music, of art. It is better than the scientific because it is deeper. It is better than the objective because it is closer home. It is not yet the dimension of religion, remember. Man remains the same unless he changes his dimension. So this is the first thing to understand, that you need a shift from the objective to the subjective. Meditate more and more with closed eyes about your emotions, about your thoughts. Look deeper into the inner world, the world that is absolutely private to you. The objective is public, the subjective is private. You cannot invite anybody into your dreams. It is not possible. You cannot say to your friend that tonight come into my dream, because the dream is absolutely yours. You cannot even invite your beloved, who may be sleeping just on the same bed and just by the side of her. Hand in hand you may be sleeping, but you dream your dreams, she dreams her dreams. Dreams are private. The subjective is the private. The objective is the public. The objective is the marketplace. So many people can watch one thing, but so many people cannot watch one thought, only one person. The person to whom the thought belongs can watch it. Remove your consciousness more and more to the private. The poet lives a private life. The politician lives a public life. The emphasis should be more on the private than on the public. And you should start learning how to love the private. Because the private is the door to God. The public is the door to science, but not to religion, not to God. The public is the door towards arithmetic calculation, but it is not the door to ecstasy, to love. And enjoy things which are very private. Music, poetry, painting. Hence the insistence of Zen on calligraphy, painting, poetry, gardening. Something that is absolutely private. Something that you live from the in towards the out. That rises as a wave in the innermost core of your being and spreads outwards. To all of my sannyasins, I would like it to be reminded again and again that be creative. In the past, the majority of religious people proved uncreative. That was a calamity, a curse. Saints were simply sitting doing nothing. That is not real religion. When real religion explodes into people's life, suddenly much creativity explodes also. A religious person is flowing, streaming, river-like, seeking, exploring, always seeking and exploring into the unknown, always dropping the known and going into the unknown. Always choosing the unknown for the known, sacrificing the known for the unknown, and always ready. A religious man is a wanderer, a vagabond. Into the innermost world, he goes on wandering, moving from one place to another. He wants to know all the spaces that are involved in his being. Be more creative. Dance, and don't bother whether somebody likes your dance or not, that is not the question. If you can get dissolved into it, you are a dancer. Write poetry, No need even to show to anybody. If you enjoy, write it and burn it. Play on your flute or guitar or sitar. You must see our tabla player Bodhi. How meditatively he plays on his tabla. That's his meditation. He is growing, going into it, dissolving, melting. The subjective is the realm of all art and creativity. These are the two ordinarily chosen realms of being. The third, the really religious, is the transcendental. First is objective. The objective is the world of science. Second is subjective. The subjective is the world of art. And third is the transcendental. That which goes beyond both is neither objective nor subjective. Is neither out nor in. In which both are implied. In which both are involved, but yet it is higher than both, bigger than both, beyond the both. The subjective is closer to the transcendental than the objective. But remember, just by being subjective, you don't become religious. You have taken a step towards being religious, a very important step. But just by being subjective, you don't become religious. You can find poets who are not religious. You can find painters who are not religious. Religion is more than art, more than science. What is this third? First, you start looking into your thoughts. Drop the public world and move into the private. Look into your dreams, your thoughts, your desires, your emotions, your moods, and the climates that go on changing inside you. Year in, year out, look into it. This is the subjective. Then the last and the ultimate jump. Then by looking by and by into thoughts, start looking into the looker, the witness. One who is watching the thoughts. First move from things to thoughts and from thoughts to thinkers. Things is the world of science, thoughts is the world of art, and the thinker is the world of religion. Just go on moving inwards. The first circumference around you is of things, the second is of thoughts, and the third, the center, your very being, is nothing but consciousness. It is nothing but a witnessing. Drop things, go into thoughts, then one day thoughts also have to be dropped, and then you are left alone in your purity. Then you are left absolutely alone. In that aloneness is God. In that aloneness is liberation, moksha. In that aloneness is nirvana. In that aloneness, for the first time, you are in the real. The objective and subjective are divided. There is a duality, a conflict, a struggle, a division. The person who is objective will miss something. He will miss the subjective. And the person who is subjective will miss something. He will miss the objective. Both will be incomplete. The scientist and the poet both are incomplete. Only the holy man is complete. Only the holy man is whole.
And because he is holy, I call him holy. I don't mean by holy that he is virtuous. I mean by holy that he is whole. Nothing is left. Everything is involved. His richness is whole. The subjective and the objective both have dissolved into him. But he is not just the total of subjective and the objective. He is more. The objective is without, the subjective is within, and the religious is beyond. The beyond comprehends both without and within, and yet is beyond. This vision is what I call spirituality, the vision of the beyond.
Meditation today is called The Way Out. The way out of the mind is to become aware of the mind and its mechanism, memory, imagination, thoughts, desires, fantasies. The traffic is there, continuously going on. You have just to stand by the side and watch whatsoever is passing, with no judgment, with no evaluation. Just a silent mirror reflecting whatsoever is passing by, without any commentary, just watching. In the beginning it seems difficult, because our habit is of continuously commenting, but just a little patience, sitting silently, doing nothing, just watching, it comes, and when it comes, it opens a totally new dimension.
What wondrous love is this in the silences of my heart? Let me dissolve into your breath.
Bye-bye, everybody. This was Osho Radio. You were listening to music by Prem Joshua, by Milarepa, a beautiful piece from the world of Osho, music by Maniko, and we will finish with the Humaniversity sound mix. Until next week, and namaste.
Becomes a paradise again. And the immense beauty of love is that it has no reference. Love comes from you for no reason at all. It is your outpouring bliss. It is your sharing of the heart. It is the sharing of your song, of your being. And sharing is so joyful. Hence one says.